This is a pre-recorded version of the WTKA Roundtable on WTKA, unsurprisingly, 9 o'clock Thursdays. It is recorded, however, so if you call in, no one will answer.
We are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider, Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, online at WTK.com, Sam Webb, Mr. Ira Weintraub on the other side, and joining me two-thirds of the MGO Blog Roundtable this week as Seth Fisher. He was solo last week, held it down in grand fashion,
but back,
he returns. Another member of the Roundtable is Craig Ross, so we're going to do it without Brian Cook this week. Fellas, starting with you, Seth, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. And I know how Craig feels now when he gets on like really early because I think 6 a.m. here in L.A. right now.
Six, nothing. I've been up at 2:30 a.m. to do a 3 a.m. show from Kona.
No, this is the same thing. This is totally the same thing.
You're probably right.
I think I stay up later in L.A. than you stay up in Kona.
That's probably true because in Kona, I'm in bed by like six, or, you know, to do.
Yeah.
So in any event.
Well, guys, we got a lot to dive into this week. And so let's just start off first in order and look back at Michigan hockey last week as they dust Colgate off as everyone expected. And then they are in a knockdown, drag out, nail biter of a hockey game with Penn State. They win it in dramatic fashion, and they are back in the Frozen Four. So, I think it's time, A, for a retrospective, and then, B, for a preview. For this team to be where they are, Seth, can't lose sight in the moment of how impressive it is that they overcame all that adversity that they had to overcome to get here. And then now that they're there, what do you make of their odds of winning the whole damn thing?
Well, I think the best four teams made it, which is weird because it's such a random tournament that, like, it's, you know, the odds of the best four teams making it to the Frozen Four are, like, the odds of, like, four non-four seeds or lower making it to the Final Four. But so Michigan's going to have some tough teams. We know Minnesota's tough. You know, Quinnipiac is a great team. BU, we faced them kind of a weird game this year, but, like, they're a great team as well. So Michigan, I think, has just as much chance as anybody. I wouldn't really put them ahead or behind anyone else. But, you know, like we have things that we're really good at, and they're kind of peaking. I love what they did against Penn State because when you're down by one and you're like, you know, you start pushing, right? You get in one of these games where, like, you're hitting posts. And it's just not happening. Do you change your process, right? Are you supposed to, like, they're owning the ice. And they just keep doing what they're doing, right? And then you keep pushing, putting pressure, and the pressure creates a penalty. The penalty creates a power play goal, right? And they finally cash one in, and then early in overtime, they finally get one too. But they're all part of the same process. Those goals were no different than the shots they were taking the rest of the game. And they stuck to it. And I think that was what this team has done throughout the season, is that, like, okay, we're going to approach this from a process, then we're going to get better. And finally, things are going to come through for us. They didn't take any majors, right? It was a very low penalty game, and that helps Michigan too. But, like, that's what you have to do in the tournament. And then you asked me last week, I know I'm going long here, but you asked me last week against Portillo, and boy, did he stand tall.
Literally and figuratively, right? Yeah. I asked to put this question to you, Craig. The question that I put forth to Seth last week is, do you think Eric Portillo, based on what we heard about him coming in, like he's going to be a star. He's going to be the proverbial stand on his head goaltender. He hadn't been that yet. Do you think he's capable of doing that now? Does he have that in him to be a guy that shut slams the door on the other team and allows you to win a close game. Well, he just helped allow them to win a close game over and beat Penn State.
Yeah, I mean, I think he has that ability. The complaint I would have with Portillo over the course of the year was he gave up too many rebounds, and sometimes that's not possible. But I felt like he could have done better, especially on his glove hand, than he did over the course of the season. Now, he was really good, in my opinion, in both the Colgate and the Penn State games. And certainly we've seen in the past his ability to be a difference maker. And the thing that most impressed me about Michigan was this is a team, Michigan was last in the country or first, depending on your point of view, in penalties and penalty minutes. I mean, and this was a bit mystifying to me, and I won't get into it too much. But we didn't have problems in the NCAAs with penalties. We only had one, I think, in the Penn State game. And this took, if you look at how they skated, it was a remarkable turnaround. All of a sudden, we're playing women's hockey or Lady Bing hockey, to put it in a different way. I mean, they just were not, they were backing off. They backed off the big hits. They backed off the physical play that has marked a lot of their season, and it really worked. Because one thing that Michigan is not good at is the penalty kill. And they're not a good penalty kill team. They haven't been a good penalty kill team this year. I think they're number 50 or maybe lower than that in the country on the penalty kill. And so they need to stay out of the box, because as a 5-on-5 team, they're really spectacular and they really are talented. And so they did that this past weekend, and it came to fruition. One thing I want to mention, it's something that Brian has talked about a lot and something that's frustrated him, is we're playing in Allentown, which is fine. It looks like a good venue in front of Penn State fans. And the reason for this is that Penn State bid on the regional, and Michigan, I believe, did not. And so I asked my brother, who has been on this show. He lives down in Toledo. They have a really nice arena. And I said, well, what do they do down there for the Walleyes, I think they're called, the Toledo team? And he goes, oh, they pack it. It's a crazy hockey town. They pack that arena for the Walleyes. And so I asked him to talk to a friend of ours who's on the Lucas County Board of Commissioners. Would they be receptive to, you know, to Michigan, you know, trying to get the regional or applying for a regional, whatever it's called, bidding for a regional in Toledo. And this Board of Commissioners guy for Lucas County came back and said, are you kidding me? We would roll out the red carpet like you never saw if Michigan would bid for a regional in Toledo. And as you think about it, you've got Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, Notre Dame, that's 2/3 of the Big Ten, Western, Bowling Green, all major college players, all within easy driving distance. And yet here we are, we're letting the regional go to Allentown, which is in Philadelphia. So it makes no sense at all. This is something that Michigan has to change. It sounds like Lucas County and Toledo are more than receptive to the idea. It's something that the Big Ten really needs to do, but Michigan in particular.
Yeah, maybe we'll see it. Coincidentally, you know, my guy that works with me on Behind the Uniform series, he cut out quickly after one of our recent recordings, take his girls to a Walleye game, to your point. So, yeah, he said it gets raucous. It gets crazy. They love it. So I think you're on to something. Maybe this will be the start of a movement here. But before we move on and start and getting over into football and talking spring ball, you know, kind of handicap it for me. I know we have an opportunity to get back into it some next week. But what do you think, guys? I mean, this the Michigan versus the field in the Frozen Four. What do you think?
Well, I think I agree with Seth. I mean, it's four of the best five teams in college hockey this year made the final four. Michigan played Quinnipiac last year, I believe, in the
football is all about style and fun. And the NFL celebrates that through Play Football, an initiative aimed at creating positive experiences for players, coaches, and parents, with the goal of preserving and promoting the values of the game. On the football field, kids can continue to grow through teamwork and build trust as leaders. To learn more and to find a league near you, visit playfootball.com. The future of football is here. You in?
Hi, Jan from Toyota speaking.
Jan, I heard it's a good time to buy a Toyota.
Sure is. From now until April 4th, you can shop all your favorites like Corolla, RAV4, Sequoia, and more. Imagine yourself in a new Tundra where
you stopped by the home improvement store and finally built that treehouse you promised your daughter.
Sarah? When did you hop on the call?
Hi, Dad. Mom said you were taking too long on the phone.
Toyota. Let's go places. See your participating Toyota dealer for details. Dealer inventory may vary.
Quarters and they won 7-4. They have the same goalie they have now, who's a terrific goalie, Peretz, at Quinnipiac. But I think Quinnipiac may have a big scorer this year who wasn't there last year. I'm blocking on his name right now. Quinnipiac, though, is going to play like a lot of teams play against Michigan, I think, or some teams. They're going to line guys up at the blue line and try and tie the puck up in the middle of the ice and hope Michigan makes a mistake and where they can get an odd man rush going the other way. They're not going to play a wide open skating game with Michigan unless they get behind. And so Michigan has to remain disciplined, you know, not turn the puck over so the odd man rushes can go the other way against them. But certainly Michigan is a more talented team than Quinnipiac. And so they're a younger team, but they're more talented. And so Quinnipiac has only lost 4 games this year, but they also have played the number 42 schedule, whereas Michigan has played the number 2 schedule. So Michigan has played against harder team, a tougher competition. I like Michigan's chances. It's hockey, you know, it's one game hockey. And so there's a high element of randomness always. I mean, there's maybe more elements, more randomness in hockey than just about any other sport in these one game series. But I still like Michigan's chance. And then you're in a toss up game, probably against Minnesota or BU, because we've played both teams over the course of the year basically evenly. That's how I would handicap it up.
Yeah, every team is like a really good team that has like one maybe thing that's just not great. So like Michigan, Penn State took advantage of it. Like we failed to clear twice, and they get a power play goal because you get goalie in the wrong spot, or you just defender in the wrong position, and like
that wasn't on Portillo. Yeah. That was a clearing. Yeah, we had that puck cleared twice and didn't. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So Michigan has, like, we know what their weakness is. Minnesota, Justin Close is just kind of a decent goalie. I say like he's reached the ceiling, and it's not what Portillo can give you. So I don't think Justin Close is going to carry that team. Their forwards are going to carry that team, and their defense is going to carry that team. And BU, I mean, they're great skaters. They give up a lot of odd man rushes. And then Quinnipiac just doesn't have the firepower that the other schools do. But they're really good on the rush, and they're going to take advantage. So when Michigan's pinching, and this, we saw this against Penn State as well, Michigan will pinch. Michigan will take their shots. Some of them will bounce off the boards the wrong way and create an odd man rush. That's just what happens when you have your defenseman down. So, you know, I think that Portillo has to stand tall, but I give Michigan, 25% chance. I give everybody in this tournament 25% chance. Maybe Minnesota, like 26, and everyone else gets 25.33 or whatever, or 24.3.
I gotcha. All right. Well, fellas, let's switch gears and get on over into talking about some Michigan football. The spring game is upon us, right? And, you know, it's going to be interesting to some of the storylines that I'm looking for it's just the early signs, So the thing I'm going to be looking for is the growth and development of Marion Walker. You know, that is a huge, huge theme to this spring. His move over to defense, the talk of his outstanding upside But it is a process, guys. It is a process making a transition like that. And so I want to see, and what I want to see in particular is, you know, physicality. It's going to be limited how much of that you see in the spring game, but just, right. You know, some semblance of it.
You want to see
what I'm
looking for. Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's like asking to see, like, what are they going to do with Donovan Edwards, right? Like, no, not going to show you that in the spring game.
You're going to be able to see how physical he is in press coverage, right? Mm-hmm. You know, some corners just like to turn and run. And he certainly has the ability to do that. But I want to see how physical he is in press. That's going to be one of the things that I kind of look at. But as you look at spring game, I'm curious, what will you guys be looking for coming Saturday, starting with you, Seth?
Yeah, I mean, the cornerback position is obviously going to be the focus. Even though we know what the receivers are, we pretty much know what the linebackers are, even though I think Colson's going to be out. Like, there's some guys that like you'd like to see that you're just not going to get to see because I don't know Cabana status, but like, some guys you just don't get to see right now. And the one position where the guys are pretty healthy and you're going to get a chance to – we know what we got with Will Johnson. So you want to see what Marion looks like. You want to see Cody Jones gives you. Miles Pollard was a guy that got taken early in their draft there. So I want to see if that real or is that just something, right? Who else is out there? If the other cornerbacks look like pretty good, right, if they're shutting down Cornelius Johnson – and they're sticking with Roman Wilson, that's a good sign, right? And then, like, if Omarion's ahead of those guys, great, right? We got some guys. And if those guys are kind of not doing it out there and you're like, okay, get starters back in, then you're like, oh, I wonder if the portal has anything after spring ball.
Yeah. Yeah, there's going to be another round of portal guys for sure. And that's definitely something to look for. I mean, where does Michigan maybe need to fill in portal-wise? Now, part of it is going to be difficult because, look, some of the guys have been banged up this spring. I mean, they obviously don't talk injuries, and I don't get specific on injuries either, but they've had a lot of guys out. Now, the impressive thing, if you want to call it that, is how, like, it's like no big deal. Like, there's, like, zero concern about where they are with the guys who have missed a decent amount of time in spring ball because they think they have that much depth, Craig. And so, you know, really going to be looking into that depth, especially along the offensive line, to see how that group that's going to be minus a lot of the guys that we expect to be regulars when the regular season rolls around, how do they look, especially against a group of unstarts and upstarts? I mean, Kenneth Grant was the first pick. We know Mason Graham is a baller. I think Braden McGregor is going to have a breakout year. You know, if this offensive line unit looks good against that contingent, I'm going to be impressed.
Yeah, that's always my first place of watching in the spring game is offensive line. I always believe if the offensive line is good, you can always piece together some kind of offense. And in this year, we know you have weapons, you know, and up the yin-yang with Corum and Edwards and tight ends, and I think, wide receivers also. So the question is always offensive line, and I think this could be one of the all-time really good Michigan offensive lines. But the places to look, of course, will be center, which is takes some discipline to just even look at center and watch center and what's going on there, and then the tackle spots. There's lots of people. There's lots of candidates at those spots. I don't think the guards are going to be an issue because you got Zinner and Keegan back, and those guys have already proven themselves. But the question's going to be, you know, what do our tackles look like, and what are our alternatives there? Although I can't imagine it won't be pretty good. Center, I suspect, will be the place. Yeah, Nugent and
well, is Nugent playing now? Because I thought he's still hurt.
I don't know.
Hinton might be hurt still, and I think that Henderson's out for like some sort of academic snafu thing. So none of the transfers on the offensive line are there. But that is an opportunity because Crippen was the guy that they were going to point to and say you're going to start until they got Olu, and no one can complain about them getting Olu. That was the best lineman in the country last year. But, Crippen's got an opportunity here because he's got just as much eligibility left as Nugent. And I know everyone's just pegging Nugent in, but you get an opportunity on this team. And when somebody's out for whatever reason, that's the rule. But the next guy gets to go and show what he's got.
Yeah. Well, not just Nugent. Don't you still have Raheem? Isn't he?
Yeah. And he's getting good talk this spring, too.
Yeah, we had Mason Graham in recently that we were going to be having in another episode of Behind the Uniform coming up, and he talked about Raheem. So Raheem's having a good spring. Really impressed with him. Of course, he's talking to Giovanni Ohadi. He's the guys that he sees on the inside a lot, right?
He's like, but we know about Gio. Gio, like, would you be uncomfortable if Ohadi started against Ohio State right now? No.
No, that'd be fine.
We've seen him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's incredible depth. But, like, that's where they're at right now. And tackle, like, you're right. We're going to see what some of the other guys have. But, you know, Trent A. Jones is going to have, you know, this is his chance to, like, win a spot. Carson Barnhart is a guy they've loved for a very long time. It's his opportunity to, like, earn a spot. Last year, Trent A. Jones walked away with it during spring, and this year, you know, they haven't announced anything, probably because they got two guys out. But, you know, there's an open position at tackle, so one of these guys got to step forward.
What was impressive to me, this is another thing that Mason talked about. I'm kind of jumping the gun on some of the things he said, but he was talking about how strong Trent, because, I mean, who's the strongest guy on the team? And he said, you know, I'm one of them. He said, but you could put different guys. He said, you got some other guys that you could put in the competition. And Trente was one of the guys he put in the competition. He said, man, Trente is super strong, is really, really strong. And so you forget the track that he seemed like he was on before he went down. Like, he had some busts out there, make no mistake. But before he got injured, the talk was, man, he is going to be able to take this position to another level athletically, right? I mean, you know, you're coming in behind Stuber, and you're going to – yeah, you lose experience, but you gain in athleticism, and then he goes down. Well, man, they just by the way listening to Mason talk, it's like that expect – like he is kind of snapped back into that expectation. At the same time, he's a guy who, you know, has some experience under his belt now. So I agree with you, Craig. I mean, yes, you lose Olu. I agree. He was one of the best, if not the best, lineman in the country last year.
He won the award. He won the award. I don't know if you can make an argument. If you want to make an argument for him, you can point and be like, scoreboard.
When I say that, there's a difference between who the top performer is and who's the guy on the top of draft boards, I guess is the distinction that I'm making. But anyway, that aside, I agree that even losing him, this is a line that has the makings of being a line that is, I know, maybe it's premature to say they have the potential to be just as good, if not better, which is, you're talking about a team that won, or a unit that won, a Joe Moore Award last year.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you, Sam. I think the potential is absolutely there. I mean, you've got experienced guards who are really good, and you've got a ton of experience throughout the rest of the line, and guys, you know, Trente, I think, is a proven run blocker. The question with Trente is, you know, pass pro. You know, if Trente can pass pro, you're not going to do a lot better out at that position, I don't think, you know, but that's the issue there. And you know, and now you're bringing in Nugent and the kid I've blocking on his name from Arizona,
Darius Henderson.
I mean, you got a lot of competition there, and so my feeling is whoever wins those positions is probably going to be pretty damn good, and given the level of competition we know that exists along the offensive line. So you know, you put that offensive line with an experienced JJ McCarthy, with you know, the kid from Indiana, incidentally, is a good tight end. Mm-hmm. And Colston Loveland, you know, I think Hibner might break out. I like their wide receivers. This could be a vintage offensive team. From my point of view, and so it's an exciting year. The other thing I'll be looking at is Hausman on the, you know, I don't know how bad
they said that's another dude. So man, Will shouted him out.
Okay.
I said, who's impressing you? First name out of his mouth is Hausman.
Yeah.
The linebacker Hausman. He's like, yeah, he's the dude.
Because it looks to me like certainly this year there'll be more depth at linebacker. Now, I don't know how bad the Colson injury is, but I think you got Hill Green back, and you
got Junior
Barnett.
Was getting cleaned up. It was cleaned up for Junior. He talked about it. We saw him a couple months ago, I want to say, and he kind of let us know what was on the horizon there. It doesn't sound – I mean, there's no concern. So let's put it this way. That's the part that I've taken away from so many guys being out this spring. It's like everyone's like, oh, everything's cool. We get a chance to work our depth. The guys that are out, they expect to be fully back and ready to go for the summer and into the fall. So, man, they just feel like this is an opportunity. It's a real opportunity to help grow some guys up, across the board. And you get Nakai Hill Green back, who was just, that was one of the things that made him an early achiever is he's so precocious. He was a guy that was able to get out there and know where he was supposed to be defensively right now, like right away. And he was, he had really good athleticism. You missed that. You missed that from him last year. So if you get him back and add Hausman to the mix, I mean, who didn't think that linebacker of a really good defense, who didn't think the linebacker was the element of the team that needed to be brought up the most between the addition of Hausman, the return of Nakai Hill Green, the hire of Chris Partridge. I think you got the experience there, guys, to have an improvement at that position.
Well, and I mean, Rolder is going from true freshman to sophomore. I mean, you're still talking like, he's not Devin Bush, but like Rolder's starting to look pretty almost usable last year at the end of the season. And Barrett really came far last year. Oh, that's another thing I wanted to bring up. I forgot to bring up on our podcast too. They've been bringing in more hybrid guys and some safeties who have some linebackerness to them. And they've got Barrett on the team already, and they've got more linebackers now to do this. And I thought that was always going to be something that they did, because it's definitely something the Ravens did, where they play with like a kind of a hybrid guy. I think they just didn't have the opportunity last year because like every linebacker was on the field as a linebacker. But maybe they're using Barrett in kind of some interesting roles or finding some guys who can do that hybrid space player thing that they just didn't have last year because they didn't have the linebacker depth.
Yeah. Kim Lardner on YouTube asks, will Hausman be a part of a linebacker rotation now or more so next season?
Now.
Absolutely not. No, they ain't bring that dude in to sit. No, he didn't come here to sit. And you watch him even in Nebraska last year. But game, I always say game recognizes game. I listen to what the coaches say. And they were, to their credit, some of them were telling me last year, Mikey St. Ristel is going to be a dude. We are not going to drop off in coverage. Hell, I don't think they dropped off much across
anywhere,
the board.
Yeah.
But he's not the box presence that Dax was as far as how physical he is in the run game. But Mikey's still good in the run game, too. But they were talking that up last spring. Like, you watch. Well, they were right. But this year, it's not just the coaches saying, you watch, by Ernest Hausman. It's the players saying, you watch. Ernest Hausman is a dude. So I'm expecting him to be an impact player for Michigan out the gate. But let's get to a break. We picked this conversation up on the other side. So Theodore Dodge asks, Chris Partridge is a better position coach than George Helo. I know he's a better recruiter. I think that's the expectation. I think that was part impetus for the move. And look, let's be fair to George. It's not that George is a bad position coach. I think that Harbaugh, Jim, knowing Chris Partridge, knowing a guy with coordinator experience, knowing a guy whose coaching chops he recognized here in his prior stint, kind of felt like, man, okay, we got the opportunity to get even better at that position, both talent wise and coaching wise. And I think they feel like they were able to do both in this offseason.
It's interesting that question was asked. I almost never have any inside information, but I have inside information on this one. And an employee, coach, analyst inside the building told me, Partridge is a lot better coach, linebacker coach, than George Helo.
Well, see,
he wasn't talking about recruiting. He was talking about,
Yeah, coaching. So, like I said, I see.
And I'm not criticizing Hilo.
Right. I see. You got an opportunity to upgrade a position that you feel like from a defensive perspective was the weakest of the three levels. And so you're able to do that. And coming off the playoff game, it was no, because in that game, that was the glaring, kind of hole in the defense was linebacker. I mean, they made mistakes at every level. No one was without blame, but linebacker was the biggest culprit. That position group was the biggest culprit in that kind.
I mean, it's not a knock on Miles Pollard when you say Will Johnson's a really good cornerback, right? Like, that's what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
And this is a thing that lots and lots of coaches have told me, because I've always, I used to say, like, oh, no, we got a position coach out of position. Like, this, how's he going to coach something he's never even played? It's a little bit something there, but, like, coaches are coaches, and really good coaches can coach. Partridge is a really good coach. Right. He was a really good coach in high school. He was a really good coach when he was here. He was a really good coach at Ole Miss. The coordinator position, they felt they needed to move on. I understand that. And Michigan took advantage. And when you have a guy like that, you got to jump on him. And, George Hilo, you don't need to knock him to say that Colson was not in the right spot a lot of times. And I think that his development could have gone better. And, I'm doing I finished charting up the TCU game finally, and there were still a lot more mistakes in that one too. So, linebacker's hard, but and there was a real woofer in there. He's the one responsible for that big long run. I don't know if you can guarantee the linebackers are going to play better, but I can tell you Partridge is good. Partridge is a really good coach.
I guarantee.
And that's what, Seth, that's what I'm hearing from.
Back on radio in about 30 seconds, guys. Back on radio in about 30.
What people are telling me is that he is a truly outstanding coach.
Wait, Mark, where are you? He says, where's the Hockey Frozen 4 preview? You must just not be getting here, Mark. We did that already, man. We did that at the start.
I thought we talked hockey.
Yeah, it's funny. So we at the start, one of the guys is like, where's the football? Now we're talking football. The guy's like, where's the hockey? Like, folks, watch the whole show.
Gotta get up early.
And we are back here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTK.com. Talking Michigan football with the MGO blog roundtable, and spring game is upon us coming up on Saturday. We were going through some of the things that we'll be looking for. Some of the faces, some of the new faces we expect either via transfer or guys that we are anticipating stepping up into new roles. I just think that Braden McGregor is poised to really skyrocket this year. He has the talent. Now he has the experience. I think the confidence level inside for his ability to be a playmaker this year is high. So he's a guy that I'm looking to be a breakout on this year's defense. I'm not saying he's going to be Braden McGregor. Aiden Hutchinson. But how about this? As good as we saw Big Mike be last year, I think Braden McGregor is going to be better than that, somewhere between Big Mike and the super high bar that Aiden set. I don't think he'll get there, but I do think that he'll.
I don't think anyone in college football is going to get there this year.
I think he'll be a step up in athleticism from what we saw from Big Mike last year.
Who is the competition out there, Sam? I mean, who are the we haven't talked about the edges. Who do you see as the
– Josiah Stewart.
Yeah. And so, different.
He's
so
on the other side, though, isn't he?
Yeah. And so you got the big end, and then you got the edge. Braden McGregor is more of the big end type. And you guys remember in that Ohio State game, to be in that game and to not be a guy that was on probably not even close to their scouting report. And he made huge plays in that game, athletic plays in that game. And there's so many elements of what he brings to the table that are Aiden-like, that it's just been a matter of being healthy, having experience. I think the combination of the two come to the fore this year. And so who are some of the guys that I've heard them talk about on the edges? Jalen Harrell is another one that I've heard a lot of talk about.
We see he's solid guy against the run. We know that.
Yeah, we saw that flash in the Ohio State game as well. Derek Moore is another. And I thought that Derek Moore, you know, that's another guy that physically precocious kid who showed you some flashes, but he's young. So he wasn't going to show it to you in a sustained way. Man, guys, I just feel like that presence, the pass rushing presence that we see from Michigan on the edges this year, whether it's the addition of Josiah Stewart or the maturation of the guys I just talked about, they're going to be a better pass rushing unit too. I know it sounds like, you're just talking about everything's going to be better. How can they be much better than a playoff team? I'm just giving you the vibe that I'm getting.
Are you kidding? Did you see their pass rush last year? That was one of the worst pass rush. That was in recent Michigan history, going back at least to you have to go back to Rich Rod to find a team that was worse at pass rushing than the team last year. And you got a note, look who's not here too. You mentioned how, players recognize game. You know, McGregor was kind of one of those guys who were looking like, is he going to transfer because he's not playing as much as some of the other guys? And he's not the one at Charlotte right now, right? So right. Sometimes these players make their decisions based off of what they're seeing in their competition. And, Jalen Harrell, I hope he gets bigger, because the TCU game was just like a perfect example of my issues with him all season, is that he's in the right spot. You can tell why the coaches love him. He knows what he's doing. He's in the right spot, and he's going to make some plays for you. And that is so, so valuable. And then he's got no pass rush whatsoever. He takes bad steps sometimes, and he just gets bashed out of there. So he can be in the exact right position, and he gets blown out of there like he's Seth Fisher. And, you need Derek Moore coming along. If he makes, just a couple more mistakes than Harrell, I don't know if they're putting the same side, but, he's more on the big side. But, that will be a huge difference. And Stewart can give you pass rush, and he just doesn't make – he makes just a few more mistakes than Harrell. That's a huge upgrade. That position was really not good last year.
What they like to be is they like to have packages. And, Jalen Harrell is a package guy. I think Josiah Stewart, brings that pass rushing element. You're going to have guys hopefully really fit into really defined roles this year. And you look for them to have some really consistent pass rush ability this year from the edge. I do think Derek Moore is going to bring you more of that this year. I do think that Braden McGregor is capable of bringing you more of that this year. They should be better in that role. We're out of time. I want to get some basketball at the end. So before we do that, guys, if Michigan gets tomorrow Jaden Davis, the significance of that, he announces for Michigan, how big will that be for this class? How big will that be for Michigan, adding five-star quarterback number 28 in the country, Jaden Davis?
Well, you tell me, Sam, because I have to admit I've gotten to the point where I rarely look at tape until the guy is here, and just because it's proven to be frustrating when I was looking at, Najee Harris's tape, and it proves to be more of a matter of frustration to me, and I figure I'll let the recruiting guys worry about that and then make my own evaluation later.
Frustrating because you think – because Michigan didn't get Najee?
Yeah. And I looked at his tape and I said, oh, my God, this guy is just tremendous. But then, for example, when we got Hassan Hoskins and everyone was whining about it, I looked at his tape and I said, no, this guy's tremendous. I don't know what people are whining about. And, at this point, I don't know how good Jaden Davis is. You tell me. I mean, you've looked at the tape.
Yeah.
And, I know he's rated highly, but that's all I know.
It's a huge arm, really big arm kid. That has escapability, elusiveness in the pocket. So really good pocket awareness and presence. Mm-hmm. Can move and buy himself time to make throws down the football field. Not a scrambler, but can run decent. But his claim to fame and the name of his game is he can sling that rock. He is an absolute gunslinger. A guy who is super smart. Really, really committed to his craft when it comes to, you know, studying film, knowing defenses and coverages, and being able to dissect them. And so I think that he's a kid that's going to come in, you know, from a mental standpoint, a preparation standpoint. For instance, he just went out to California to work out with some QB guys out there. He's one of those dudes that is, he spends a lot of time with Cam Newton, right? Cam Newton, 7-on-17, getting that kind of tutelage. So he's going to be a guy from a mental perspective that's going to be ahead of the curve from preparation wise. Now, you know, do I expect him to come in and just to wow as a freshman? I think it'll be a process. It'll be interesting to see if Michigan goes out and gets a hits the portal for a quarterback, because frankly, you know, if it's me, this is how I play it. If I'm Michigan and I get Jaden Davis, I go out and I get me a quarterback in the portal next offseason. One of those Sam Hartman type guys, right? That he has 1 year eligibility left and he wants to play for a championship and allow me.
Are you saying JJ's gone after this year, then?
I think JJ's gone after this year. I do. Yeah. I think he's had that kind of year.
So we really,
I mean, he's a weirdo though. Like,
man, if that dude, so if JJ has an all American year and he's a top 10 pick, like you can't, I mean, far be it for me to speak for someone else. I'm just telling you what my advice would be.
Yeah.
My advice would be, you got to go. Now, if you want to come back, of course, we'll welcome you back with open arms. But nah, man, you should go. Not you got to go, but you should go.
I'm not giving up hope, because he's a weird dude and he's got, you know, he seems to really like college. And you want to talk about like NIL ceiling, right? Like, he's above Hunter Dickinson by a lot of what you can make here. He could be like one of the top earners in the country. So we don't have to talk about that yet, but
Hunter's never going to be a first round pick.
And we don't have to talk about that yet. But like, Jaden Davis is certainly a guy that they needed a five star in this class. They needed somebody who's going to be able to maybe come in, and because otherwise, like, Davis Warren's your next guy at this point, right? And that guy might be pretty good, but you're trying to win championships, and you don't want a championship team held back at quarterback. So they needed him in this class. As far as like the effect on the class, like five star people want to get in the class, I think the secret's out that he's going to pick Michigan. Because like all the guys who were on the trip with him started committing to Michigan right afterwards. Like, Jordan Marshall was like, I'm here. This is it. I'm done. I'm ready. I don't think that happens. If a five-star quarterback who's on the same trip as him, right? You know, I think that we get him. I think that you're more likely to get his two receiver teammates. But I don't think those guys were that's not too difficult either. If you look, the class already has a very strong East Coast flavor. I think that Michigan's been very strong lately in North Carolina and in Virginia. I think he's part of that. I think that just going out there and seeing him a lot and being part of that community of football has really put Michigan in a place where, you know, UNC is really sick of us being out there now. And that's, you know, that's what you're going to see. He's another JJ, you know, it's a five-star quarterback. Let's go.
And I think he is an ardent recruiter. You know, obviously put a crystal ball. I increased the crystal ball level. You know, I'm in Charlotte right now. So, you know, one of those things, man, where.
So that's a clue. So is this a gut feeling? Are you giving us a gut feeling?
Who said that?
He did.
Who said that?
He did.
I got some guys that I want to see in Charlotte. Okay. I got some guys.
Yeah,
that I'm
you know why you have guys you got to see in Charlotte? Because every single receiver in like a 300-mile radius of Jaden Davis has like a crystal ball to Michigan all of a sudden.
All right, fellas, we got to get out of here. That's going to do it for us here on the Michigan Insider. Thanks for watching them go Blog Roundtable. We'll see you tomorrow on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket, and WHD2 102.9 FM. See you tomorrow on the show. Thanks.